right. Glad to be back with you this morning. We are jumping into the end of Proverbs 1, and a big theme that we need to see in the book of Proverbs. Just a quick reminder about how the basic structure of Proverbs. Remember, the first 9 chapters serve like an introduction to motivate us, to plead with us, to listen to the Proverbs, beginning in chapter 10. But then within those first 9 chapters, the thing I want to make sure we're aware of is that there are 2 main types of material in those first 9 chapters. The first of those is parental instructions. That's what Pastor John introduced last Sunday. And then the other type of material in chapters 1 through 9 is about Lady Wisdom. There are descriptions of her, and then there are speeches by her. And so this morning we are going to overview those. So on your handout, you see that it says Proverbs 1 through 9 includes 4 descriptions of Lady Wisdom, 3 speeches by Lady Wisdom, and then 1 climactic description of Lady Wisdom's competitor, Lady Folly. So that's where we're headed this morning, to overview those things. So here in Proverbs 1, if you look with me down at verses 20 and 21, we have an introduction to Lady Wisdom. It says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks." So we'll continue in a few minutes and see more of what she says. But what is going on here with this lady? Lady Wisdom isn't a real person. She's just a vivid illustration picturing wisdom as a woman seeking a relationship with a man, a woman trying to get a man to enter into a relationship with her. And this works because Proverbs is addressed to a young man. Now, last week, Pastor John showed you from Hebrews chapter 12 that Proverbs is for all of us. We're all the young man. We're all the son in Proverbs. But there is particular significance to the fact that Proverbs is spoken to a young man, and wisdom is pictured as a woman, with the two of them entering into a relationship with each other. Ultimately, a marriage between wisdom and this young man. And that's an illustration designed to help you and me think about what our relationship with wisdom should be like. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 7 for just a minute. This is a vivid illustration that works because everybody's familiar with what happens when a man falls in love with a woman. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. "Here the father speaks," okay? "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend." Okay, obviously, intimate friend speaks of a romantic relationship, a marriage, but actually the word sister does too. I know we don't use sister as a term of endearment in romantic relationships today, but they did. For example, Song of Solomon, the man says to his wife, "You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride." Not because she was his sister, but because they used that as a pet name, like we have other things like that we use today. So when Proverbs 7, when the dad says to the son, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend," the parents are matchmaking. You know about matchmaking parents, right? Parents who pressure their kids to get married and give us grandbabies. The parents are matchmaking. They are pleading with their son, "Fall in love with wisdom." Now, I know our world is getting more and more messed up, but there are a few things that most young men long for more than a girlfriend. A woman who is funny and beautiful and adventurous and kind and will make life wonderful. A woman who might become his wife. Now, sin can mess that up and distort a man's desires, distort a man's priorities, Sin can make beautiful things ugly. That's all true. No illustration is perfect. But Proverbs is asking us to step back out of the messiness of that and remember the way God designed things to be when a man begins to go down the path of a wonderful relationship with a woman who will hopefully become his wife. It is one of the most intense and passionate pursuits in all of life. It's what happened when Adam first saw this amazing wife that God had created for him. So if we can picture that pure delight and joy, then we're ready for Proverbs' illustration of how excited all of us should be about wisdom. So picture a mother and father at home teaching their son and urging him to get wisdom. And then the son goes out in the streets and the markets, and there is this woman, Lady Wisdom, who is trying to get his attention and get him to enter into a relationship with her in a pure and in a right way. And then there is one more piece of the illustration. That's another lady who's trying to get the young man's attention, and that is Lady Folly. And we will unfortunately meet her later. So turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. Remember, the illustration is about you and me. The illustration is a young man, but it's not about young men specifically. It's about all of us and our relationship with wisdom. You are the son in God's house with God instructing you to get wisdom. You are the son living in this world with wisdom calling to you if you'll listen. And you all have Lady Folly calling to you from within your own heart and from within the world, calling you to your own ways or the ways of the world. All right, let's get to know Lady Wisdom. You have a lot of things to fill in on your notes. I numbered them to make it easy to keep track of where we're at. First of all, in verses 20 through 22, number one, we will see that Lady Wisdom is graciously calling. She is graciously calling. So here's the beginning of the first Lady Wisdom section, verses 20 and 21 again. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. Okay? So, first thing we learn is that women who want to get married need to be really loud. No, that's not the point of the illustration at all. The point is that wisdom calls out to all people. Think with me about this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The laws of nature testify to his design. And God's order cries out all the time to everybody. For example, every time the sun rises, wisdom is calling. See the order God has designed? Every time hard work is rewarded with a well-earned paycheck, wisdom is calling. This is the way God designed it to be. Every time laziness comes back to bite you, wisdom is calling. This is the way it's structured. Every time a parent watches their toddler go down the slide at the park and your heart just kind of feels like it wants to burst as you watch them laugh and giggle and grow up, wisdom is calling. God designed that. Every time a married couple enjoys God-honoring sex, wisdom speaks because these are God's ways. Every time sin has consequences, wisdom is shouting, "Hey, did you see that?" Wisdom cries out. Now, here's what she says, verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Lady Wisdom is gracious because she calls to people who have not been listening. She offers wisdom to those who have for too long been ignoring her. But she's kind, and she's unselfish, and she's caring enough to give them another chance to know her, just as God is so patient when he calls sinners. In verse 23, we hear Lady Wisdom's offer. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. There are a lot of cool New Testament connections there with spirit and words, but in the illustration, the point is, number two in your notes, Lady Wisdom opens up to those who turn. If he'll turn to her, she's ready to open up to him. But remember the beginning of verse 23, he has to turn. And In other words, and this is for all of us, you can't date Lady Wisdom and keep your other girlfriends too. You've got to choose God's word and God's ways or not, listening to God or not. And what happens if we don't turn? Look with me at what she says next in verse 24. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. This is fitting after the hurricane footage we've seen this week. We're supposed to picture this young man getting pummeled by a hurricane. It's the same picture Jesus used in Matthew 7, right? That's what it's like when you ignore wisdom. Sooner or later, your life gets slammed by the storm. And Lady Wisdom will laugh. Number three, Lady Wisdom mocks the calamity of those who refuse. If we say, I can do life my own way, and I can ignore God's way, and I'll be fine, in the end, reality will laugh in our face. The way God designed things to work will win. There's a famous old sermon illustration about the captain of a Navy ship who sees a light in the distance on the seas at night, and he radios to the other ship to alter its course. And the reply back demands that the naval ship alter its course instead. And the captain gets very angry, citing his high rank and the importance of this U.S. Navy ship and demanding that the other ship change its course until the other ship radios back that it's actually a lighthouse. If the captain remains arrogant, in the end, the rocky shoreline will win. The rocks will laugh because the rocks of reality will win every time. God's truth is the rock-hard reality in this universe. And if you insist on your own way instead, it may work for a while, but in the end, the rocks will laugh at you when you crash into them. And maybe some here this morning need to realize today you are headed right toward the rocks. And the seas seem nice and calm at the moment. It's working. You will not win against the rocks of reality. And today needs to be your day to repent of the foolishness. Now, in verse 28, something interesting happens. Lady Wisdom has been calling to these young men in the marketplace. And in verse 28, she stops speaking to them and she turns to us and she talks to us. Look at verse 28. Then, if they don't listen, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and have their fill of their own devices. So number four, if we refuse her, we get the fruit of our own way. Sometimes we realize that we've been foolish right before the consequences hit. And we wish we could go back. Like, never mind, never mind, never mind, never mind. But we can't just defy God's ways and then say, oops, sorry, at the last second, and avoid the consequences. If you refuse to change course, you hit the rocks. And then in verses 32 and 33, we see that the choice is truly life or death. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. There are devastating consequences for refusing Lady Wisdom and tremendous blessings for those who fall in love with her. All right, let's turn to Proverbs 3 in the next section about her. Next Sunday, Pastor Eric will be preaching from the first part of Proverbs 3, but today we're going to look at the middle of this chapter, which Lady Wisdom doesn't speak here, but she is described here. So Proverbs 3, look with me, beginning at verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So those are words that could describe marriage to a wonderful wife. Here they're used to describe the blessings of having an intimate relationship with God's wisdom. So here in chapter 3, and then in some verses we're going to look at in Proverbs 8 in just a moment, we see number 6, Lady Wisdom will never stop blessing those who lay hold of her. We know what it's like for a man to be madly in love, you know, to do things like work a night shift and then drive all morning just to be with her for 30 minutes at her lunch break the next day, spend a chunk of his paycheck on fancy gifts, look like a fool in front of his friends. He doesn't care. This girl is worth it. And the tendency of men to do that is the point. Wisdom is more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more valuable than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. There's not maybe any other human experience that captures that degree of attachment to something than the kind of love that leads to marriage. And so it is that illustration that we're supposed to grab hold of and say, that is how I'm supposed to look at wisdom. Get Lady Wisdom no matter what. Go over to chapter 8. Lady Wisdom will never stop blessing those who lay hold of her. We won't spend much time in Proverbs 8 since Dr. Nicelli preached on it a few months ago, but just a couple important samples. First of all, the first 5 verses. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense." Look down at verse 10. "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." These are the kind of things that couples say to each other when they're madly in love. Like, "I would give up anything for you." That's what we say in human love. But how much greater is the opportunity to know the mind of God, the ways of God, the truths of God, the wisdom of God? Love it like that, like you would give up anything in the world for it, like there is nothing more important to you than that. Lady Wisdom will never stop blessing those who lay hold of her. And now look down to verse 17. She says, Lady Wisdom says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." Number 7. Lady Wisdom never stands anyone up. I've spoken several times recently with young men who were working up the courage to ask a girl on a date. Why does it take courage? It's not because she might say yes, though maybe for some guys it is, but it's because she might say no. Most of you have heard me talk about the first time I ever asked Crystal on a date, and she said, "Sure." And I wondered, does that mean sure like you'd love to, or sure like, "Poor guy, I will pity you with a date"? It is human to wonder, can anyone love me? You know, lying in my bed on the night before our wedding, I so clearly remember thinking, I can't believe that there's this girl who loves me. It's like my dream has come true. Somebody loved me. That's what I thought. And come on, be honest. You've thought it too. Can somebody love me? And so verse 17 says, Lady Wisdom loves those who love her, and those who seek her diligently find her. She won't stand you up. That girl might. That guy might. Your earthly relationships might all be broken and disappointing, but God won't stand you up. Next, in verses 18 through 21, we see again that Lady Wisdom makes the one who loves her very blessed. That's number 8. So Proverbs 8, verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness and the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. This girl has quite a dowry she brings with her into this marriage. The point is, you will never regret asking wisdom on a date. You will never regret turning your heart to wisdom. Jump down to verse 34, where Lady Wisdom says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors." Number 9, Lady Wisdom is worth our eager pursuit. This makes me smile, because when a guy is really interested in a girl, sometimes he tries to figure out how he might just happen to run into her. You know, she's got a class in that building, and then she's got a class in that building. And if I sit on that bench, kind of creepy, but, you know, it's also kind of sweet. Can you tell I was around college students this week? He really wants to have a chance to connect with her, even if it's just to try to say hi. Oh, that we were all that way with wisdom. Watching daily at her gates, waiting beside her doors. Do you seek and plan and arrange your schedule to see how you might be able to get the ways of God, and to know the mind of God, and to know how God designed things to work, and to walk in His ways? Verse 35, Proverbs 8, 35. "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." See, Lady Wisdom is admitting to you that she's just an illustration. When you find her, you don't literally find a wife. You find life. You find the Lord. You find His favor. Verse 36, "But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." This is about life and death. It's about heaven and hell, actually. So that transitions us into the big conclusion of the Lady Wisdom illustration. We're right here at chapter 9 already. In chapter 9, we find out about Lady Wisdom's competition. Lady Wisdom's competition. Why would any of us fail to get wisdom? It's not because she's hard to find. It's not because she turns down those who want her. It's not because she doesn't have a lot to offer. It's because we fall for the seduction of another girl instead. So Proverbs 9 describes Lady Wisdom one last time, and then it describes Lady Folly. So first of all, Proverbs 9, verses 1 and 2, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table." Okay, so now we're not out in the markets anymore with Lady Wisdom calling. Now we're in this beautiful house that Lady Wisdom built. And on her dining room table, we see this impressive meal that she has prepared. This is an impressive woman. The description is intentionally over the top, like this woman is a kind of ridiculous dream come true. Number 1, Lady Wisdom is a builder. She builds mansions. And a chef who offers her home and her feast to anyone who will turn and come. Okay, like I said, it's a little bit ridiculous, and that's the point. Who wouldn't want to date a kind, gracious, beautiful, smart woman who's rich, knows how to build mansions, and cooks like a Michelin star chef? That's what's being described here, to say, if you don't go after God's wisdom, you're crazy. God's wisdom is so amazing. It is a feast of goodness and understanding and richness in our lives. Verse 3, "She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town." So calling them to this feast in her house. "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Do you see the decision that has to be made? You can't date Lady Wisdom and keep dating your own ways. You have to be exclusive with her. But that's easier said than done because there's this other woman. Number two, Lady Wisdom has loud, seductive competition. So if you skip down to verse 13, we'll meet Woman Folly. Verse 13, the woman Folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. The ultimate airhead. Now, Lady Wisdom was loud too, but her voice was good and it was gracious, seeking to get the attention of the foolish and give them the opportunity to turn and live. When Lady Folly is loud, it's different because she's seductive. There's no grace in her words. There's no love in her words. It's bait. She actually knows nothing. So if you listen to her, you'll know nothing. But she can put on quite a show. She knows how to attract the attention of the guys, just like the world knows how to attract the attention of our hearts. Lady Folly is an illustration of our relationship to sin's temptations. And what we're going to see in a moment is, number three, Lady Folly has a seductively simple two-part appeal. And we'll get to those two parts in just a moment. But I hope you can see the illustration that we're supposed to visualize here. It's a very familiar one, right? It's the stuff of countless movie plots. On one hand, you have the woman of genuine substance who will truly make the man's life so much better because she's skilled and she's kind and she's a truly wonderful person. But on the other hand, you have the woman who knows how to seduce, even though there's no substance there at all. But she's fun and she's flirty and she knows how to put on a show and she knows how to get the guy's attention. But in the end, when it's too late, the guys wish they'd never chased after her. Or maybe in the movies they figure it out just in time. Real life doesn't usually work that way. So look with me at Proverbs 9, verse 14. She, Lady Folly, sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Okay, look back at verse 4. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Okay, so Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly are directly competing for a relationship with the same young men. Now keep reading verse 16. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. She may know nothing, but she's got one proverb, and there it is. So Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, they're both offering a date. I mean, even today, having a meal together is kind of like the classic date, right? They're both offering a date, because when you sit down and you eat together, it's a very personal connection with a person. So Lady Wisdom offers this wonderful meal. Lady Folly has a very different, more seductive approach. She says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So what does she have for dinner? What does it say? What does she have? She's got bread and water, all right? Remember, there's the lady with the mansion and the feast. Lady Folly's got bread and water to try to attract these guys with. But she knows how to seduce with a very simple two-part appeal. First, she offers the young man what is easy. And young men tend to want to avoid hard work. If you've ever parented them, you might have seen that sometimes. You remember back in chapter 1, Pastor John showed us last week, the young men's friends want him to join them in obtaining wealth through robbery. It's easy money that the gang is offering him. Just this week, The Atlantic magazine published an in-depth article titled, Legalizing Sports Gambling Was a Huge Mistake. It's not a Christian source. That's a secular source saying this is way too addictive, way too destructive, especially for young men. So part of Lady Folly's appeal is that what she has is easy to get. The other part of her appeal is to the thrill of what's forbidden, bread eaten in secret. So she offers the young man what is forbidden. It's just like Genesis 3, when Satan promised Eve that there was secret knowledge that God was withholding from her, and it was so easy to get right there in front of her. The thrill of what's easy and what's forbidden. Verse 17 is one of those places where the Hebrew is stark and simple. It says, stolen water, sweet. Secret bread, delicious. That's all she's got to say. That's all she needs to say. Her only hook is the promise of easy, forbidden pleasure. Pornography is such a clear example of this because porn is easy sex. You don't have to actually put in the work of a real covenant relationship. And it's forbidden. You sneak it. It's got a thrill to it. Lady Folly is using the same trick she's been using for thousands of years because they keep working. But remember, the young man and Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly are just an illustration. So you might not be a young man, but this is still for you. You might not be a man at all. This is still for you. You might be an older woman who's stuck at home a lot of the time. You might be a mom who's barely surviving each day of parenting. You might be an early teenager who's still at home and you think dating is gross, but it's hard to submit to mom and dad. But Lady Folly calls to all of you. Maybe instead of greed or pornography, like for the young man in Proverbs, maybe Lady Folly calls to you with anger or worry or despair or manipulation or harshness or pride or pouting. Those things come from Lady Folly too, not just pornography and gambling for easy money. Lady Folly calls men and women, young and old, to bitterness and gossip and lies and unforgiveness and laziness. As we seek to follow Jesus and obey God, few things are more important than to learn to recognize Lady Folly's voice. To be able to quickly say, oh, I know what that voice is, calling to my heart. Ever since Eden, every sin tells the same lie. God's way is too hard. God's way is no fun. God's way is restrictive. Here's something quick and easy and thrilling that God doesn't want you to have. So Lady Folly, she's good. I mean, she's not good. She's very bad, but she's good. Like, she knows how to make bread and water sound so amazing that the guys will take it over the feast at the mansion. Oh, and there's something else. Her bread and water laced with poison. Verse 18, he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Lady Wisdom's house is a mansion. Lady Folly's house is a morgue. As David Hubbard words it, this is the words on your notes, you can find Folly's guest list by reading the daily obituaries. You can find Folly's guest list by reading the daily obituaries. Our own way kills us. Ultimately, Lady Folly leads to eternal death and hell. But don't only think of it that way. Lady Folly isn't just deadly in the ultimate sense, though she is, but also when we follow her ways, it can be deadly to other things in our lives. To our relationship with other people, to our relationship with God, to our jobs, to our health, to our finances. There are all kinds of ways that Lady Folly's ways bring death even before they bring the ultimate final death and hell. If the young man had listened to Wisdom, he would have known that. She would have told him that. There was a mansion and a feast with a beautiful woman right there, but he wouldn't go. And so he was seduced right into the death chamber. And that pictures all of us when we're listening to sin's seductions instead of God and his ways. All right, there you go. That's an overview of Lady Wisdom in Proverbs. Now, Lady Wisdom is just an illustration. What we would call it is a type, which is a word we use for a picture prophecy. So Lady Wisdom is a type of Christ, a picture prophecy of Christ. Lady Wisdom isn't Jesus, but she's an illustration that pictures some things about Jesus. Can you think of some of them? We didn't read the section in Proverbs 8, but like Lady Wisdom, Christ was there at creation, playing a key role with God the Father. That's a connection. Lady Wisdom and Christ are both like street preachers, calling out to all people to hear and follow. Lady Wisdom comes graciously to the foolish, and she gives them the opportunity for wisdom, and so Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. Both Wisdom and Jesus offer life to those who follow, and they promise death to those who don't. Lady Wisdom offers a banquet, and Jesus says he's the bread of life, who's going to bring us to God's table to feast forever. Both Lady Wisdom and Christ won't let you date other people. They demand an exclusive relationship. Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. Come follow me. You can't love the world and love Christ. Both Lady Wisdom and Christ give their spirit to the one who will listen. So when we realize that we should break up with Lady Folly and fall in love with Lady Wisdom, what we're saying is that we should turn from sin and self to follow Christ and love him. He died to pay for our deadly foolishness and to set us free from Lady Folly. Jesus died so that Lady Folly's voice might lose its power in your life. So the choice is ours. It's a one-time choice, in a sense, Christ or not. And then it's a daily choice. Who am I going to listen to today? Who am I going to follow today? Is it going to be my own heart? What I feel like? Is it going to be the world? Is it going to be Christ? The choice must be made. Look back at the last verse we just read, chapter 9, verse 18. What's the next verse? What are the first words of the next verse? The Proverbs of Solomon. So the contrast between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly is the end of the introduction to Proverbs. It's the climactic appeal. You're supposed to have this illustration in your mind when you like turn the page and begin reading the Proverbs that began in Proverbs 10:1. And the way chapter 9 ends, it's so obvious that there's a choice that must be made. Any sensible woman will tell a man, if you're interested in a serious relationship with me, you can't date anybody else. And so wisdom calls to us and says, we've got to be exclusive. Leave your foolish ways. Turn from your own ways. Repent and seek God's ways. It seems so obvious because Lady Wisdom has so much to offer, but Lady Folly can talk. She knows how to seduce, just like sin does. Paul Koptak notes that as chapter 9 ends, the young man has not yet made a decision. What choice did he make? We don't know, because he doesn't exist. You do. So the end of chapter 9 leaves us hanging, because the story doesn't get resolved in Proverbs. It gets resolved in your life. The young man is us, and the choice is ours. Do we want God's ways? Do we care what God says? Will we slow down and listen? When we don't like God's ways, will we submit and obey? For example, look at Proverbs 10, verse 2. Here's like the very first proverb-ish. Verse 1 kind of has a first proverb. But verse 2, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit. All right, pause right there. Is that a great truth to love? Yes. Does the human heart want to love that truth? No. Because if I just fudge this number on my report at work, more hours, more money. If I just fudge this number on my taxes, more money in the bank. It's easy, right? Treasures gained by wickedness can be great. Okay, there you go. Take your pick, Lady Wisdom or Lady Folly. You see how it works? God has everything we need. God is amazing. God is like a feast for us. God's ways are full of blessing. And yet when we're in those minutes, Lady Folly, in those moments, Lady Folly sounds good. Easy, it's forbidden. Keep chasing Lady Folly, and sooner or later the rocks of reality will be laughing at you. You'll show up in Lady Folly's deadly guest list. But there's this incredible offer from Christ. If we humble ourselves to eagerly seek wisdom, like a young man opening up his heart and life to a wonderful young woman, then we will find great blessing, the richest blessings. You will never regret it. So I'd like to finish with a line from the Old Covenant. It's not directly connected to what we've been talking about in Proverbs today, but it's words that Lady Wisdom could say or Christ could say to us. And it's these words, Deuteronomy 30:19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. This is a sermon that really, really calls for a response. We really have to identify the ways in which we are headed toward the rocks. We've been listening to the voice of Lady Folly and thinking it's going to be fine. And we have got to turn and fall in love with God's wisdom and God's ways. So we're going to end this morning a little bit differently than we normally do. Eric's going to come, and I'm actually going to step down. Eric's going to play for 2 or 3 minutes here and just give us all time to just pray. You've got to respond to this in your heart. I'll come back up then. I'll close us in prayer, and then we're going to go right into a very brief congregational meeting. I'm going to give you some updates about church life, some announcements about things that are coming up and so forth. Then we're going to dismiss, and at 11:15, all of you that are volunteers in any way in any of our children's ministries, or be back in here for a meeting with Pastor John from 11:15 to 11:45. All right, Eric, will you play? Let's pray, and I'll come back in a couple minutes. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to repent together of our foolishness. I think any sensitive-hearted believer here can think of ways that we have let foolishness's voice draw us in. As we sang earlier, we are sometimes failing. You are a friend of sinners. We are very grateful for forgiveness. We are very grateful for a great Savior. But we don't want to keep listening to Lady Folly. So help us fall in love with wisdom over these next 2.5 months as we continue through other parts of Proverbs. May our hearts be so soft. And in the days ahead, when we go home and read our Bible and listen to your word and feed and talk with other believers, may our hearts be so soft and eager to hear, to know your ways. And Lord, please help us learn to recognize the voice of foolishness when it calls to us with the quick and easy fix. Help us to hear that voice, to know Jesus died to set me free from that deadly foolishness, to reject that and love you in your ways. So help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.